Hello and welcome to our site. This morning we bring to a close the series of sermons that have come under the general title, Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. And the last vital question that we look at this morning in this series is, why should I be a Christian? Why should I be a Christian? Well, just listen to this. The Apostle Paul's words to the church at Colossae in the first century capture the reason why the Apostle Paul is so enamored as a follower of Jesus Christ. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." What wonderful words. Why should I be a Christian? Is the last in our series of biblical answers to vital questions. Why should I be a Christian? Over the past 5 months, we've been attempting, with God's help, to give biblical answers then to vital questions, questions that are relevant today to each one of us. And so now, this final question in the series, why should I be a Christian? In the Old Testament, God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together." It is God's invitation to us, a sincere plea from the Lord himself, that we take the time to apply our minds to the matter of our spiritual state. For if we do not have a right relationship with God, our life is in jeopardy, our eternity is at stake. There are dire consequences if we turn our back on the invitation of God, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And so, bring all your powers of reason to the issue, says the Lord. I can deal with the greatest problem you have. It's called your sins against me, the fact that you have gone your own way. Like sheep without a shepherd, you have gone astray. But I can heal your sin problem. God says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be washed white like white wool. God's word thunders through the prophet Ezekiel. Your sins have weighed you down. You are wasting away because of them. Your life is ebbing away. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Why choose the way of eternal defeat and destruction? If you will return to me, says the Lord, with all of your heart, you will live abundantly and you will live eternally. This is the plea of God in the Old Testament scriptures, for us to return to him. Fast forward through the centuries to the New Testament and see Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem, that is headed for destruction because the people he chose for his own have turned their backs on him, closed their ears to his voice, and substituted religion for a relationship with him. The gospel had come to them in person, and they had rejected it. For 3 years, the good news had lived among them in Jesus, God incarnated in human flesh, declaring the message with unmistakable clarity. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I chose to lay down my life and have authority to take it up again. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am the way, the truth, and the life," said Jesus. "No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father also. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." When we come to the New Testament, then, the good news is summed up in one verse. You may know it so well. God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me, that he gave his one and only Son, so that believing on him, the Lord Jesus, we might not perish, but have eternal life. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Why should I be a Christian, you ask? Well, apply your mind to the matter. Here are 5 very good reasons you must reckon with today. In the first instance, your sense of better judgment tells you that to have a right relationship with God is the most sensible, rational, reasonable thing in the world to do. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus points out that we either are on a broad road that leads to destruction or a narrow road that leads to life. Your sense of better judgment tells you that the narrow road is the sensible option. Jesus says you're either building the house of your life on sand and the floods will sweep it away, or you're building the house of your life on rock and it will stand forever. Everywhere, people without God are building their castles on sand. Your sense of better judgment cries out, don't be a fool. Build the house of your life on Christ, the solid rock. Jesus said a man stumbled on treasure in a field one day, treasure worth an absolute fortune. So he quickly sold everything he owned to buy the field, so the treasure would be his also. Our sense of better judgment tells us to give up the lesser for the greater, to sacrifice what is ultimately of no value for that which is of great value. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2:3. In Christ there is forgiveness of sins and the gift of everlasting life. Our sense of better judgment tells us it would be the height of folly to reject Jesus and God's offer of salvation, the offer to follow Christ. Why should I be a Christian? Well, second, for the reason of conscience. God has given to every person this precious gift of conscience, that little policeman of the soul that gets on our case when we think wrong thoughts and say wrong words and do wrong things. When our first parents sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, the first thing that got to work was their conscience. They felt guilt and shame, and they tried to hide from God. People are still doing the same today. Many years ago, theologian Emil Brunner made this astounding statement. He said, "The greatest evidence for God in the world is the presence of guilt in man." Why do we feel so guilty? We're guilty about the fact that we're out of sorts with God. We try to quell our guilt with theology. We're guilty about the fact that we're out of sorts with ourselves, and we try to quell our guilt with psychology and psychiatry. We're guilty that we're out of sorts with each other, and we try to silence the voice of conscience with sociology. We're guilty about the fact that we're out of sorts with our environment, and we try to silence the voice of conscience with ecology. Dr. Billy Graham tells of a visit made to a psychiatric unit in a London hospital during the Haringey Crusade many years ago. The medical superintendent said to him, "Dr. Graham, if half my patients could just feel forgiven, they could go home tomorrow." The Apostle Paul was always careful to acknowledge the importance of a good conscience. The writer to the Hebrews majors on the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able to cleanse our conscience, cleansed from a guilty conscience. When I heard the gospel as a teenager in the city of Bulawayo in Zimbabwe in 1958, I was conscience-stricken, and I gladly accepted the forgiveness that Jesus offered me, for I already knew that I could never be happy when my soul was being lashed by the whips of a guilty conscience. It is a consciousness of our need that is intended to lead us to embrace Christ with all our heart. But the Bible is also clear on this reality. It is possible to silence the voice of conscience. Many people do, ultimately. To so constantly suppress the voice of conscience that eventually you don't have a conscience anymore. What a terrible state that is. Then you can do the most irrational thing in the world and reject Jesus Christ, fail to become a follower of Jesus, fail to become a Christian. "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. Your sense of better judgment tells you that you ought to be a Christian. The voice of conscience tells you that you ought to be a Christian, for only Christ can forgive your debt of sin and cleanse your guilty conscience. Thirdly, the testimony of the church. Correctly understood, the church is not a denomination or an organization. It's not a building or an institution. The church is the company of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are born again and joined together in one family by the Holy Spirit of God. The real church is the community of Christ followers, who have repented of their sins and put their faith in Christ alone, and have a personal and growing relationship with God. Their baptism began their journey, and their communion with God and with one another sustains their journey. When I went to university in 1960 as a new Christian, my faith was severely questioned and put to the test. But oh, how I thank God for the church, that community of God's people, bought with the blood of the cross of Jesus and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They were like a mighty army to keep me from floundering and drifting away. The Church of Jesus has a powerful testimony. God's people are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her advance." Friend, we have to acknowledge the church is not always what it should be, but the church at its worst is still better than the world at its best. The church has always been at the forefront of every worthwhile endeavor in life as it continues the work of Jesus in the world. Why should I be a Christian? Because of the dynamic testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ, heading up the mission of Jesus' redemptive work in the world still today. Why should I be a Christian? Well, it follows fourthly because of the witness of Christians. The best advertisement for Christianity is a true Christian. And history is littered with examples of authentic Christ followers. So many who have given their lives in the cause of Christ, gladly given their lives in the cause of Christ. As Jim Elliot wrote in his diary before He was martyred by Aka Indians, 1957. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I can think of the lives of so many people who have so reflected the life of Jesus Christ that others have come to embrace Christ also as their Savior, the result of the witness of Jesus' followers. When a former prime minister of the country where I was born in Africa was asked, when his health was failing, if there was anything he wanted, he pointed to a Christian gentleman that he had come to know and respect over the last few years, and he said, "What I want is what he has." So many people around the world have come to Christ because of the change they have seen in the lives of those whose lives have been literally transformed through their encounter with Jesus. My late father-in-law was one of them. He ended up drunk just about every night. Told me he often woke up in the morning not knowing who'd taken him home to his hotel room. But then one night, at the invitation of a lady, he went to church and he heard the good news about Jesus Christ. Went back to his hotel room and got on his knees and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me. If it's true what the preacher said, I commit my life to you, Lord Jesus, and I take you as my Savior." His life was so transformed that they changed his name in the South African city of East London from the Whiskey King to the Miracle Man. Yes, changed lives. Lives changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Lives that have been radically transformed through the power of the gospel. The witness of Christians is another reason why every person should become a Christian. So many people have come to Christ because of the revolution that has taken place in the lives of those who have been transformed by the grace of God through a relationship with Jesus. Well, I just happen to be one of them. Why should I be a Christian? The greatest reason of all, number 5, because Jesus, the Son of God, laid down his life for you on the cross. In the final analysis, dear friend, the cross upon which Jesus died is the only hope for our fallen, broken, divided, conflicted, and confused world. The cross of Jesus, in the final analysis, is the only hope for our broken world. Its base touches the earth, telling us here is a God who has come near to man to forgive his sin and heal his brokenness. Its arms are extended outwards, telling us here is a God who in Christ invites all people to come and find forgiveness and peace with God. Its summit points heavenward, telling us that in Christ man has a destiny that lies above and beyond earth's creeping mortality, up where the breezes of eternal life are forever blowing. Dear friend, I don't think anyone has put it better than Isaac Watts in his immortal hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his side, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all." Why should I be a Christian? Why should I be a Christian? Well, my sense of better judgment tells me that I should be a Christian, that I should give up that which is little worth for that which is of eternal worth, that I should give up that which is merely temporary for that which is eternal. Not only that, but my conscience tells me that there is only one who can forgive my sins and restore my broken relationship with God, and that is Jesus. Why should I be a Christian? I should be a Christian because the testimony of the church is unassailable, immutable. The testimony of the body of Christ on earth at the forefront of mission, at the forefront of every social endeavor that is good and worthwhile, providing education and health and everything that is good and worthwhile in life, the Church of Jesus Christ stands like a beacon of light in a dark world. Why should I be a Christian? Because of the witness of those who are authentic followers of Jesus Christ, those whose lives speak so loudly of the grace of God in Jesus, because their lives have been transformed by the power of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Why should I be a Christian? Well, the greatest reason of all, because Jesus, the Son of God, laid down his life on the cross for me, was raised from the dead so that I could have eternal life and share the life of Jesus, life that is eternal, abundant, fully satisfying. Why should I be a Christian? Because I don't need a president or a politician. I don't need a physician or a philosopher. I don't need a therapist or a theologian. I don't need a religion or a reformer. I don't need money. I don't need a minister. I don't need a prophet or a priest. I need a savior. I need a savior who can restore my broken relationship with God. And you need a savior too, dear friend. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. He loves you so much that he surrendered his sinless life upon the cross 2,000 years ago, allowed his precious blood to be shed on the cross so that you might be forgiven, cleansed, so that God could freely forgive you and justify you and declare you not guilty because of your faith in Jesus Christ, who died in your place and rose again, that you may know him and have eternal life. Why should I be a Christian? Come now, let's reason together. It's the most rational, reasonable, sensible thing to do in the whole world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your invitation today to bring all our powers of reason, our cognitive powers, our mind, our attention, to this one vital question, the question on which depends our eternal destiny, our relationship with you through Jesus Christ, your Son, who died and rose again for our salvation. Father, I pray that if there's anyone listening to this message today who does not know Christ, that as they bring their powers of reason to this matter, they may recognize there's nothing more important in time, there's nothing more important in this world than to make sure that I have a right relationship with God. And so thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who brings us to this conviction that Jesus Christ is a Savior perfectly suited to our need. Help us to embrace Christ with all of our heart today, to be able to say with the blind person who was healed, "Once I was blind, but now I see." To be able to say with those who were dead in sins, "Once I was spiritually dead, but now I have been made alive through faith in Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Redeemer." Thank you, Father, for the gospel, and we pray that as this good news is proclaimed throughout the earth today, there may be many, indeed, that there may be multitudes around the earth who will hear the good news about Jesus and turn to you, Lord, and put their trust in Christ, be born again of the Holy Spirit into the family of God, and become faithful, authentic followers of Jesus. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen.